Thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio. We are in the studio. We have a new face and a new voice for you. Why don't you introduce yourself?
I'm Carrie Barger.
Yay, Carrie.
Yeah, it's nice to have her. So last time, if you did tune in, we were talking about Jesus' transfiguration and in Luke, and we're staying in Luke. We'll be in Luke 22, 1 through 45. We're going to talk about the Passover today.
Yeah, I love this passage, and I want to just give a shout out. Carrie attended Bible study with Sandy and I many years ago, and I was so excited because a couple of, I don't know, actually probably like 8 weeks ago or so, Carrie's been on my heart to ask her to just come on, and I just hadn't seen her at church to be able to do it. And Sunday, I was up front for prayer, and she was in the second row, and we both made perfect eye contact. I'm like, I need to talk to you, and she had this thought. What did you think?
I thought, just say yes to whatever she's asking. And I was immediately afraid. But
so it's like, Carrie, would you come and be on the radio? She's like, right. So okay. She's here, and I'm thankful because she is an amazing person. We love to talk scripture, and so we're glad to have Carrie with us.
Thank you.
All right, so we're going into the Passover. We have been covering the meta-narrative probably for the last year, maybe.
Well, 6 months.
Six months, maybe.
I don't know.
I'd have to go back to my notes. I think we've covered probably like seven stories, so it's probably been about 7 months is what I'm thinking.
Probably right.
And the goal is we're trying to give a meta-narrative overview through Cultivating Hearts of the basic stories every person should know. And so we've been slowly going through these different narratives. And we're at the point where Jesus is ready for the disciples to fully understand. He has his last words that he's wanting to give to them. And so it's a special time that he has with them. And so that's what we're looking into for the next four sessions, 4 weeks. And we're going to have Carrie read for us from the TLB, the Living Bible Translation, Luke 22, verses 1 through 46.
Okay. And now the Passover celebration was drawing near, the Jewish festival when only bread made without yeast was used. The chief priests and other religious leaders were actively plotting Jesus' murder, trying to find a way to kill him without starting a riot, a possibility they greatly feared. Then Satan entered into Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, and he went over to the chief priests and captains of the temple guards to discuss the best way to betray Jesus to them. They were, of course, delighted to know that he was ready to help them and promised him a reward. So he began to look for an opportunity for them to arrest Jesus quietly when the crowds weren't around.
Okay, I just was like, wait, I think maybe we are going to stop. I'm going to have us do this in sections.
Okay.
I'm going to break it.
Yep.
I had told her to do it all.
Yeah.
And now I'm sitting here thinking, wait, why don't we just do this section and then we'll go to the next, because it's a lot. We were discussing at the beginning that it's like it's going to be overwhelming because there's so much content. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to break it into little pairs, I think. Mm-hmm. And so right here, the festival is happening. And so I just want us to just think about this festival. Everybody is coming in, all male men coming in to Jerusalem for this festival. And it's the time of great celebration, and they even have a certain time frame, like between 3:30 and 5:30, that they would actually be doing the slaughtering of the lamb. I mean, they're very, very specific on the things that would be happening. And as it's about to occur, Judas, we want to look at everything we can learn about Judas from this passage. So if you guys want to just take a look at him right here and just for a moment, describe for me everything you can learn about Judas in this passage. What do you see? And you have to remember we're on the radio, so you can't be quiet.
Yeah. You know, when Satan enters him, that's like so easy if you let your guard down, if you're not really with Jesus, you know, and no. But I've always find that interesting when they talked about Satan.
Right.
And he was a disciple, right, too, so he was with Jesus, right?
But so, obviously he didn't get it.
Yep.
Right. Okay. And so what was he doing? It says that he was with the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and they wanted to do what? They wanted to get...
They wanted to betray Jesus and kill him.
Get rid of him. Uh-huh. All right. And so at this point, the question that's often asked is Judas held responsible for his decision at this point? Because it says scripture, what does Satan do?
That he entered into Jesus.
Into Judas.
Sorry.
And so he entered into Judas. Mm-hmm. And so the big debate is, well, it's not his fault. And yes, it is. It's when
it's called a choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made the wrong choice.
He did. Mm-hmm. He allowed himself to be vulnerable.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And to be in a position where he was vulnerable enough to where he was willing to allow Satan to enter him. And there's some speculation by theologians where they say maybe it was that Jesus wasn't the political figure that he wanted. And since he didn't meet what he thought, then he's not going to want. And so he's out to deal with him. So he doesn't want him. He's just going to, you know, well, you didn't meet what I wanted, so I'm going to take you out. They can only speculate on that. But as I'm looking at this, and as he goes up to the chief priests and they're discussing everything that's happening, he agreed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What did he agree to?
To help.
Yeah. And what did he,
help him
what was
money.
He gonna, money.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a money.
Mm-hmm. Right. And in other places we're told it's actually 30 shekels. Mm-hmm. And so he's consented and he was willing to wait for this moment. Okay. Let's go back. Do you remember in the wilderness and Satan is tempting Jesus and how he does the three temptations and Jesus counters him with scripture? So the way Jesus countered Satan when the choice was made was he countered it with the word of God. Mm-hmm. And he realized, Satan realized he couldn't do anything because Jesus was going to counter it with the word.
Right.
And scripture says he would wait for a more opportune time.
And here it is.
My translation right here says, he consented and watched for an opportunity to
I think mine says that too.
To hand Jesus over to them. So what in when Satan actually is attacking us and we are confronting him with the word of God and we are confronting him with the word of God and he couldn't break Jesus. Mm-hmm. So then he had to wait. He had to use another person to do the attack. Mm-hmm. And so I literally wrote down, it's like, wow, when an opportunity comes up, oftentimes, I was going to see where I wrote that down. I don't remember where I wrote it. It's a more opportune time may not come causing us to sin, but then the enemy might use others around us to try to create a fate for us. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so we have to have our minds alert. Now, the reality is that Jesus is also choosing to go to the cross. Mm-hmm. And so it's a part of what history has for us. Okay, the other things that came to my mind is that Satan's the great deceiver. Mm-hmm. And so at this point, he has totally deceived Judas to the point where Judas no longer is reasoning through his choices. Mm-hmm. And so I made a list of things that I saw that Judas has. So he's a plotter and a schemer because he was willing to plot and he was willing to scheme.
That comes back to the deceiving and
He was a backstabber.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, to Jesus's face, he was kind. Because you have to understand, remember, we're going to get further into this, but as we look at this, we'll get some more. So I might pause on that one. I'm going to stick with, so I'm going to hold back on the being vulnerable. When Satan enters him, what we have to remember, and this is so hard for me to do sometimes, my son and I were having this discussion. He goes, you know, when somebody's really bad, sometimes I have a hard time remembering they're not evil.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a good point.
That is a good point.
And so what we have to remember, and I wrote this down because I want us to get it, the enemy of Christ is Satan. Mm-hmm. It's actually not Judas.
Right.
Okay.
Judas was his pawn. Mm-hmm. And so we have to remember, yes, Judas made poor choices. Yes, Judas sinned by his choices. But Satan was the enemy. And that's why Scripture tells us that our battle is not against what?
Flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood, yeah.
It's against the principalities. Mm-hmm. And so this is the ultimate example of that. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted us to keep that in mind, because it sure is easy for me to say, it's all Judas. And it's like, no, the ultimate enemy, it was Satan. Mm-hmm. Judas was just the pawn for the opportune moment. And that's what we have to remember. So let's go on. I want us to read some more. And we'll do some more on Judas here as we go. But I want us to look at, let's do verses 7 through 13.
Okay.
And I'll decide if we're going to pause there or not. I'll let you know.
Okay. Now the day of the Passover celebration arrived, when the Passover lamb was killed and eaten with the unleavened bread. Jesus sent Peter and John ahead to find a place to prepare their Passover meal. "Where do you want us to go?" they asked. And he replied, "As soon as you enter Jerusalem, you will see a man walking along carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house he enters, and say to the man who lives there, 'Our teacher says for you to show us the guest room where he can eat the Passover meal with his disciples. He will take you upstairs to a large room all ready for us. That is the place. Go ahead and prepare the meal there.' They went off to the city and found everything just as Jesus had said, and prepared the Passover supper."
That's so good. Okay, there's so much here that we can look at. I want us to look at everything we can as far as what we discover about Peter and John. So just tell me everything that you can observe clearly from the passage or make an assumption about Peter and John.
Well, they asked for direction because they said, "Where do you want us to go?"
Mm-hmm.
And I love Jesus' reply, because he's talking about the man with the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually women always go to
the
water. Mm-hmm. And so it's so obvious who it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the others are probably all women. So Jesus makes it very specific.
He does.
So they won't miss it.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. The only type of water that you would see a man carrying, it wouldn't be in a jar.
Right.
It would be in like a wineskin type of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's how the men carry liquids, but whereas the women use the jars.
Okay.
And that's probably because men would go hunting versus women were getting it for the household and for meals and such. And so that's why that was. All right. What else do you learn about Peter and John in this?
I find it interesting that it's Peter and John, and that it's not like lesser known. You know, it's Peter and John that who we are so familiar with from the Gospels, right?
Yeah.
Those two.
They're always.
Yes.
They're always in the mix.
They were in the last chapter, too, you know, with the allowed to watch.
I know.
And transfiguration.
I think that's because they're the ones that he was closest to.
I think so, too.
They're the ones that are talked the most about. And so they're the ones that he trusted to go and do.
Yeah,
what
so did the others know that this was happening, or did it, like...
It
doesn't say, yeah.
Yeah, at this point, we don't know if the others know that what they're doing to set up, you know. But the thought of them wandering through the city to go look for a man who has a jar, you know, and that's just crazy. And for me, go ahead, Sandy.
Well, I was just thinking, too, at the end, you know, well, he told him where to go. The man will have the upper room for him. But he also says, so they went. And they found everything just as Jesus had said, and they prepared the Passover supper.
Right.
They prepared it.
Yeah.
I found that interesting.
And I think that's because they were the ones that he could trust that would set it up the way he wanted it. And you guys, this place is beautiful. I have actually been in the upper room in Israel, and it's stone. It's a beautiful type of stone that they have, and the archways that they have carved and stuff, and the location it is within the city, they're pretty solid that this was the location. And so when we do this, I just think of them sitting there and just being in that room, and how amazingly beautiful it had to have been. Mm-hmm. And the stairwell, like they did have to go upstairs to get to this room, and they set it up exactly as he asked. And so as I thought about that, I'm like, wow, they're so obedient.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas a contrast, it's the time of unleavened bread when they all should have been preparing.
Mm-hmm.
And Judas is off. He's not
scheming.
Right? He's plotting. Mm-hmm. He's not where he's supposed to be. Whereas Peter and John are at Jesus' side so that if the master needed them, they were available to serve.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important. We keep that in mind as we go into, as Jesus talks about
serving, yeah.
serving mm-hmm. In the supper time.
Right.
And that the two of them were available to be Jesus's servant. And that's why they were the ones that were sent. And so that's pretty good. The other thing is that I like how when they go, they just, it's all done.
Yeah, it's already
That's
set
what I was going to say. Yeah,
me too.
The man had it ready. It's all ready for us, right? So mm-hmm. everything was done.
And that the man was obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's also amazing. So
yeah, because he had to be there at the right time for them to see him, and he had to have it all ready and prepared. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's so amazing and beautiful. So let's take, we have just a little bit left. We have, what, 2 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Three minutes. Let's go a little bit more. Let's go ahead and do verses 14 through 19.
Okay. Then Jesus and the others arrived, and at the proper time all sat down together at the table. And he said, I have looked forward to this hour with deep longing, anxious to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat it again until what it represents has occurred in the kingdom of God. Then he took a glass of wine, and when he had given thanks for it, he said, Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come.
Okay. Does yours end with, do this in remembrance of me, or does that go to the next one?
Goes into 19 and 1.
19. Okay. Go ahead and do verse 19.
Then he took a loaf of bread, And when he had thanked God for it, he broke it apart and gave it to them, saying, This is my body given for you. Eat it in remembrance of me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. This is so good. All right. We're going to look at this. Okay. They're sitting down, and the hour has come, and they're all reclining at the table. So visualize them. They're not sitting in chairs. They're actually, like, probably on their left elbow, using their right hand to reach up to the table to eat. And they're just enjoying their fellowship. And then Jesus takes the pause to begin to introduce to them a new concept. Because up until this exact moment, to do the Passover was to reflect on the suffering of Israel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
To look at what they had been through.
Mm-hmm.
And now he is telling them from this point forward, that's not what this will ever represent. Mm-hmm. From now on, it's going to represent what's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And you need to do it in remembrance of me. And so it's a shift is happening, and he's telling them your theology is about to change.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want us to end on that, and I want to say thank you so much for listening to Cultivating Hearts. We want you to come back because we're going to go further into the passage to examine all the things that happen within the Lord's Supper. God bless.